now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports. Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. I'm always joined alongside by the biggest Purdue fan I know. Give him a round of applause, Garrett Burkle.
Good morning, good morning.
Also in my left corner over here, I have the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know, although Tony Stewart's always going to be better.
I'm just kidding.
Jeff Gordon.
That's not true.
One of the best NASCAR drivers of all time. The one and only Maxwell Gilly.
Howdy.
How are you doing today, buddy?
I am doing good. It is Wednesday, and we are almost ready to be at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Oh, yeah. I'm pumped for this weekend. Got work, you know, got work at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Museum with my boy Garrett Burkle. It's gonna be a great day on Sunday.
Oh, no, you two working together, that may be a mistake.
We work in two different departments. I'm a host, and he was working at the front desk, like, with ticketing and stuff.
Oh, you're the ticket man.
Yeah, I guess. It's actually, like, one of the first times I've done that, but, yeah. I just get to sit down all day.
Where's
like,
my
that was
free
pretty
tickets?
Nice.
But we can't. Do we have it? Can we give Max free tickets?
Listen.
I don't know.
Every single time someone ever has worked anywhere, you know everyone's going to ask you for free tickets. That's just a rite of passage.
That is true.
That is so true.
Everyone's like, give me free food at McAllister's. I'm like, they don't even feed us. So like, of course I can't, you know, give out free food.
The disrespect.
I know.
Well, it's time to dive into your NASCAR news. The 18-year-old Sammy Smith, driving for Joe Gibbs Racing, number 18 Toyota Supra, won at Phoenix Raceway, becoming the youngest winner at Phoenix Raceway in the NASCAR Xfinity Series at the age of 18. Max, what are your thoughts?
It's really impressive to see that such a young driver gets a win there at Phoenix. This is what I think the Xfinity Series should be. We should be having those young guys be the ones who are competitive. So, I mean, this was only his 13th career start in the Xfinity Series. He led 92 out of 200 laps, including the final 52. So he just really dominated. And here's the thing. He's a high school senior, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a high school senior right now. There's no way I could be competitive at Phoenix. That I know.
Yeah, I probably could.
I'd like to see that. That's the next thing. All right. Listen here. Race promoters, we got to get Garrett Burkle a ride to a Phoenix. You know, not IndyCar, because no, we aren't going to do that, even though we are in Indiana. No, it needs to be specifically one race, the Xfinity Series next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can do it.
Yeah, me too.
Not before I dump him and going into turn number four.
I can just drive the Buick out there. Drive my Buick Encore on the track.
Oh, that's funny. Max, I have a good story in the NASCAR Xfinity Series this weekend at Phoenix. Ryan Truex, driving part-time for Joe Gibbs Racing, finishing second. What a great result for him driving part-time. He's came so close to winning an Xfinity Series race, but, you know, only driving, you know, limited schedule every year for Joe Gibbs. It's kind of hard, but, you know, what a great story there.
That is something that when you are competitive in the Xfinity Series, the hope is that he can get a full-time ride eventually. I think because he got second place and people seem to like stories like that, he could eventually get a full-time ride. It's like Josh Berry a couple years ago, how he ended up getting a race win. He was not full-time. He started to be full-time again. Now he's racing in the Cup Series just for Chase Elliott right now.
Yeah, and
by the way, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But boy, was he impressive too. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just always love seeing stories like that.
Oh, yeah, agreed. But, you know, there's something going wrong with Junior Motorsports at the moment. Sam Mayer dumping his teammate Josh Berry going into turns one and two. That is not good if you're Dale Jr. right now. You know, you look at Daytona at the beginning of the year. You guys could have won that race easily. I mean, four of your cars were in the top five of that race. And, you know, I don't know what happens, but, you know, you have something go wrong with Allgaier tries to block, and here comes, you know, Sam Mayer, Brandon Jones, and, you know, you also have Josh Berry up in the mix. I mean, this cannot be good for Junior Motorsports at the moment.
No, it's a really bad look for the team. Now, from a sponsor perspective, I would be mad. Now, I doubt that they're going to lose that many sponsors, but I mean, if you're going to be a sponsor, you want to support a team that, hey, is going to represent you well. There's clearly issues there. I mean, Junior Motorsports was one of the most, truly most competitive teams, and one that you always thought, hey, they have a chance to have a guy compete for the Xfinity Series title. Right now, they seem to be far different from where they were a year ago. This is a really, really bad look, and they need to get it figured out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, agreed, Max. I mean, you know, Sam Mayer dumping Josh Berry. I mean, I know Josh Berry comes home to finish 8th and Sam Mayer 11th, but you're literally, I don't even know if you're in the second stage yet. It was so early in the race, you're already dumping your team. I get if it's like, you know, you're coming to the white flag. I mean, I would try to move my team. I wouldn't try to wreck him, but I'd definitely try to move him out the groove and try to get the win. But, I mean, thank goodness Josh Berry's car didn't get totaled in the wall. But, I mean, Justin Allgaier, he wrecked in that race. He had a dominant car the most of the race, and then he got caught up in some trouble and crashed out. But not good for Junior Motorsports.
It's definitely a problem. It'll need to be addressed. And I think they will eventually be able to squash this. Because your teammates for a reason. When you're a part of a team, there are going to be issues, but you just got to get figured out.
Agreed. I do have some news on the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Garrett Smithley taking over the number 4 car for JD Motorsports. Bailey Curry, who was scheduled to return to JD Motorsports for a second straight season, will depart the 2-car organization effective immediately. Not sure why Bailey Curry's, you know, leaving JD Motorsports at the moment. Not sure what he did to, you know, leave the team. Could be sponsorship. We never know. We haven't had that information come through yet. But Garrett Smithley, who previously drove for JD Motorsports on a full-time basis for 4 seasons between 2016 and 19, you know, Max, do you have any what's your opinion on this?
There is something that's going wrong at JD Motorsports. It's all Ryan Vargas have to end up leaving JD Motorsports. He's big on social media. He hasn't had the results, but when you have a social media presence like his, that's very important. Now you have another one of your drivers leaving. At this point, I would probably, if I was trying to get into the Xfinity Series, I'd probably want to avoid JD Motorsports just because there obviously seems to be some confrontation and some issues with that team.
Agreed. I mean, you look at Ryan Vargas, late model guy, you know, he does have a big social media presence. Like you said, he tries to promote the sponsors. I mean, if you go on his Instagram page, I mean, I don't think there's one post of him not promoting the sponsors ever since he got in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. I mean, he would have like an RC car. He would ride in like one of those little art, like one of those like, you know, little cars when you're like, you know, like 3 or 4 for Swan Security. It was funny stuff, but not sure what's going on with JD Motorsports, but not good for sure. But I do have some good news coming up here. You have Ross Chastain's brother will be driving in the NASCAR Truck Series for Nice Motorsports. He drove for Nice Motorsports, but he will be making his first Xfinity Series debut this weekend, driving the number 191 Chevrolet Camaro for DGM Motorsports at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Let me get his name here. I did have his name. Let me get that pulled up right here. But Max, what are your thoughts on Ross Chastain's brother driving in the NASCAR Xfinity Series?
I know people are going to want to call it nepotism, but the biggest thing is you need to get an in to NASCAR somehow. Clearly, he's obviously has some talent. If he gets to make it up to the Truck Series, he clearly is going to be. Because they're not going to give anyone an Xfinity Series ride. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be great to see him get that opportunity. I hope he makes the most of it. Truly, if he can get, I'd say, maybe top 20 in your very first Xfinity Series race, that would be good.
That's a win.
I doubt he's going to pull a Ty Gibbs and win his first Xfinity Series race. We've been surprised before, but I'd be really shocked.
Yeah, Chad Chastain, 24 years old from Alva, Florida, younger brother of, you know, Ross Chastain. He made 4 races for Nice Motorsports. He was in four races for the Craftsman Truck Series between 2021 and 2022. We'll see how he does in his debut this weekend in Atlanta. More news about NASCAR. Ryan Newman and Bobby Labonte expected to join the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour field at Richmond Raceway. Max, what are your thoughts?
They are going to... I'd say they can still be competitive. I know they don't race the Wheeling Modified Series week to week, but they obviously have shown that, hey, they know what it takes to be competitive. They know what it takes to win in other types of cars. They were successful in the SRX Series as well, so I would hope to see them do really well there. It's great to see that they continue to racing because at this point, they're doing it for fun, and that's the best part of racing. When you can finally do it, you don't have to do it every single week because you have to. You can do it because you want to.
Agreed. Newman, he made a start at Richmond last season in the Wheeled Modified Tour. He led a few laps and finished 13th, but he has four victories in the Wheeled Modified Tour. He only led two laps. NASCAR.com, where we're getting my information from, fact-checking me there. But he did finish 13th. He's made 32 NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour starts dating back to 2008 and scored four victories. That's incredible. I mean, I know that, you know, Newman doesn't race the most modified tour races, but having four wins is still, you know, I mean, you've had success in the Wheel and Modified Tour. I mean, winning a race is, you know, and you don't really race the modifieds all that often. It's still really incredible. But, you know, you are bringing Bobby Labonte. He's a veteran. He's a lot older than Newman, but he does bring a lot of experience. He is the 2000 NASCAR Cup Series champion. He has 21 victories. I mean, he's also expected to complete the NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour events at North Wilkesboro Speedway. I am so pumped for North Wilkesboro and Martinsville Speedway later this year. Max, what are your thoughts on Bobby Labonte?
It's great to see that he's racing at the NASCAR tracks again. I always enjoy seeing the Wheeling Modified because it gives these guys opportunity to be on a major stage at some of those premier races. So, I mean, I just always enjoy getting to see them. Sometimes they're on TV full-time. Other times I think they're behind the paywall. But, no, I always enjoy when we get to see them. And I wish we'd see more of those events just during NASCAR weekends. It's great when you can see other motorsports have a chance to shine as well.
Newman will also be making those tour events at North Wilkesboro Speedway and Martinsville Speedway as well with Bobby Labonte later this year. Now moving on to the NASCAR Cup Series, William Byron scores his second win in a row of the season at Phoenix Raceway. He went 2 out of 3 of the West Coast swing. He won at Las Vegas and wins at Phoenix. I'll go over the top 10 here. William Byron, Ryan Blaney, Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick really needed a good run. Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick, Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, Kyle Busch, Alec Bowman, and Josh Berry. We'll get to Josh Berry. We'll talk about him later. But, Max, what were your thoughts on the race at Phoenix Raceway?
It's great to see that William Byron can get yet another win. He really needed this because he got the one win last year. He gets in the playoffs, okay? Early round exit. Right now, he seems like he's the driver to beat with some great momentum. I still think I'd probably take Kyle Busch at this point to be competitive and be the front runner still for the championship. I know he hasn't had the wins, but he's been up there each and every single week. Truly, even since they had the preseason races at the Clash and then early in Daytona. So I really think that, hey, William Byron, Kyle Busch should be some competitive guys. It's great to see Chase Briscoe up there. I always root for him as a Hoosier. Kevin Harvick as well, just being towards at the end of his career. So great to see that those two are competitive for Stuart Haas.
Which Hendrick Motorsports really dominated this race as a whole. I mean, Byron was leading up to lap 60, and then Kyle Larson took the top spot after a caution, and then he dominated. I believe he won both stages of the race. And then, you know, we're coming into, you know, the later stages of the race, and here comes the closer, Kevin Harvick. After a uh, pit stop after stage two. Harvick takes second away from Byron, beats him off pit road, and, you know, he's chasing Harvick down. And then on lap 269, Harvick made the pass for the lead. And then he had a lead of nearly 4 seconds. And then we have a caution with 11 laps to go after Harrison Burton spins out. And then if you're a Kevin Harvick fan, that's not what you wanted to see.
No, it's been frustrating so far. Just if you've been a Harvick fan, he hasn't been able to win. It's not as bad as if you were a Kyle Busch fan, though, at Daytona. That was the absolute worst.
Agreed, that was terrible.
No, once again, congratulations, Williams Byron. And, man, I mean, last week it was 1-2-3 with Hendrick. This year they're all in the top 10. And, I mean, just wow. They are looking to be so very impressive. I know it's early on. We've seen so many times this season where a team starts out hot, and then similar to, like, the NBA, they fizzle out towards the playoffs. And I really hope that doesn't happen for Hendrick this season.
Yeah. Well, Larson, you know, got passed by Harvick. Definitely Kevin Harvick had a really good long-run car. Larson had more of a short run. Larson was running a new lower downforce package. It was the first time they used it for the first time in competition. He definitely did struggle in traffic a lot, and Harvick was able to close right on Larson's bumper, and he had difficulty passing Justin Haley and Austin Cindric, and then, you know, Harvick was right there. I mean, definitely the long run for Kevin Harvick was a lot better than, you know, the Hendrick Chevrolets when they got in traffic. Larson did dominate. He led a race high of 201 laps of that race. But, you know, it was just like Las Vegas. He won both stages and, you know, just couldn't get the win. Couldn't get the win at Phoenix. Just some bad luck for Kyle Larson right now.
He's going to have a whole lot of momentum, and hopefully he can use that momentum to propel him to finally get some wins. I know he really just has to be frustrated with his luck, and he is one heck of a racer, so yeah. I'd expect him to be in victory lane sooner rather than later.
If you're Kevin Harvick and you're, you know, coming down to the, you know, the final restart, caution on lap 11, they did take four tires. Are you going to take four tires or two tires? There's a big controversy of what they should have done, because, you know, how Harvick's car, it took him a while for him to fire off compared to the Hendrick Chevrolets, but as the run went on, he was a lot quicker. I mean, obviously, I would probably take two tires, but, I mean, if, you know, let's say, I mean, he was gaining on these guys, but, you know, he gets caught. I mean, Phoenix is one of the toughest places to pass at. So, I mean, are you going to, if you're Kevin Harvick and Rodney Childress, are you wanting to take those two tires? And, you know, I mean, the fall off at the moment was only about, you know, I think Todd Gordon was on the radio on Motor Racing Network. I heard him say this was about, you know, 1 second or so. And, you know, what are your thoughts, Max?
Well, my thoughts are, I would have gone with two tires. That just seems like the safer approach to try and get out closer to the lead. As you are listening to All Gas No Brakes on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, we're talking about NASCAR at Phoenix and the important pit decisions there. All I can tell you is this, audience, there is no way I can ever work on a pit crew. There's no way I can ever be a strategist, because every single time I think, here's what I would do, it ends up never working out. I also learned I can't drive in NASCAR because I did the iRacing simulator at the Hall of Fame in Charlotte. Now in 2015.
What was your time?
I didn't get a time for my last race because I was kicked out because my car was broken and drove backwards down pit lane. So
you did a Days of Thunder, dude.
I did, and it wasn't Daytona. The issue is I was the only one in pit lane. I somehow got into pit lane and couldn't get out. So listen here, NASCAR, for your sake, I don't think I'm going to be going down that career path. Just because I want to go back and just see, will it happen again? That's the important question. And then I'll give all the results to WBDG. Then next year we can be like, well, look what he did.
Maxwell Gilley driving in NASCAR after he graduates from high school and then goes on to college. And he's like, you know what? Radio and just not working out. Let's do NASCAR. So, yeah, thanks, Max, for that.
You're welcome.
So,
hey, I can be your teammate.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's move on here. We're gonna start moving on. Harvick did take the lead 44 laps to go. Like I said, with the caution came out with, 11 laps to go. And, Roddy just decided to take four tires. And, he restarted back in seventh. He only got up to fifth place to finish. I'm not sure. I really did not like the sequence that NASCAR did with these caution laps. You went from lap 11 to like four laps to go. Like how does that even happen? Like I don't understand that because it doesn't take that long to clean up that wreck. It was just a spin out.
Yeah, that the only argument you can ever make is hey, maybe it took so long. It reminds me of the Indy 500 actually last year where it seemed like we had caution for way long for some simple incidents. So I guess this is a trend now. I don't think they were trying to end up getting closer and closer for overtime, but you never know.
Because, let's say that, Kevin Harvick does take those four tires and, we restart on, with eight laps to go. He's winning the race. I'm sorry. He's going to win the race. I mean, two tires compared to four, I think it's going to happen because he's restarting seventh. He still has a lot of time to pass these guys, and he has a dog leg. So this is what Kevin Harvick said after the race. This one is not fun to swallow. Who was seeking his 10th victory at the one-mile track. We had a great car and didn't need the caution at the end. We had a strong car and a chance to win. We just hate missing an opportunity when you have a car that strong. He had a great, strong fifth-place finish. He notched his 20th top five finish at Phoenix Raceway. 20 top fives and 30th top 10 finish. That is just some amazing numbers. 9 wins at Phoenix, 20 top fives, and 30 top 10 finishes. Max, that's unbelievable numbers.
That's definitely a track to where if he's ever going to be competing in the top five, watch out. He's probably expected to win. He knows what it takes to win there, so I was unsurprised to see that he was competing, hopefully, for a win. I know he's frustrated that he lost, but it's a long season. There's still a whole lot of time.
More news in that race. The rivalry with Ross Chastain and Denny Hamlin is continuing to happen as Denny Hamlin put Ross Chastain in the wall coming to the checkered flag.
That's just all from last season year. Because
Gateway, Pocono, I mean,
the biggest thing is it didn't seem like Denny Hamlin, he had a chance to end. People were wondering, is he going to end up trying to screw Ross Chastain in the final race at Phoenix and spin him out just for all the stuff he had to deal with because of Ross? That didn't end up happening, so I guess now this season is, hey, Ross Chastain's going to know that don't mess with Hamlin or else he's going to have to feel the wall a lot more.
Yes, agreed. He said, Denny Hamlin said this on his podcast. It wasn't a mistake. No, it wasn't a mistake. I let the wheel go, and I said, he's coming with me. It's been interesting because I hear people say this for last year or this year. I got wrecked in the clash. I don't know that Ross sees it this way. I think he's still curious about what I thought about the clash. I don't know why he wonders what I thought about the clash. I said for a while, you've got to do something to get these guys' attention. Whatever I've said, I think that Ross doesn't like it when I speak his name in the media and when I have this microphone. I told him I have a microphone. I'm going to call it like I see it. Until you get a microphone, you can then say whatever you want about me. The fact is, while I'm sitting here talking, I'm going to call things the way I see it. And then he also went on. He actually got the jump. He downshifted quicker. He's talking about Ross just, and he brake checked me a few times. You saw that from the onboard camera down the backstretch. He hit the brakes a couple of times. It wasn't letting off at all. It didn't matter to me. After the brake checks, I went into the next corner and tried. And he says, I'll be honest with you. He said this on the podcast, that Ross Chastain is one of the hardest drivers to spin out when he knows it's coming. He talked about how he's like one of the hardest to wreck on the planet. Max, what are your thoughts on what Hamlin said on the podcast?
I'm not surprised at all. I'm glad to see that he airs out his grievances, and we will see what will happen next.
But there's also a rule, Section 4.4B of the Cup Rulebook states that a competitor can be fined 25 to 50 points and or fined $50,000 to $100,000 for a series of violations that includes wrecking or spinning another vehicle, whether or not that vehicle is removed from competition as a result. If this continues to happen, there could be a big fine either coming to Ross Chastain or Denny Hamlin in the near future.
It's gone too deep. You can't just keep stopping this. That's what NASCAR is about. It's about getting these rivalries. So unless it starts turning out to be very dangerous, and I know both of these guys, they're in the Cup Series, they're not dumb enough to do anything that's going to risk truly impacting the career of their other opponent. I know they're going to keep continuing to do this. NASCAR will probably try to shut it down. That's not what I would do. Just
no.
I would just keep letting it happen. It gets a lot more people interested, and that is something that NASCAR needs, especially with Chase Elliott out and the ratings not looking so good right now.
Josh Berry finishing 10th at Phoenix Raceway. Wow, what a result for Josh Berry. Xfinity Series driver for Junior Motorsports. Dale Earnhardt Jr. talks about how Josh Berry is a very talented driver. Finishing top 10 at Phoenix Raceway is a great accomplishment when you only race the Xfinity Series.
I'd really like to see him get a full-time Cup Series ride soon, and I hope it would be with decent equipment as well. I've always been a fan of Josh Berry. He's really easy to root for. Seems like he's a great driver.
Great personality as well. Short track guy, late model guy. I mean, you know, coming from, you know, the, you know, mom and pop racetracks, you know, they host, you know, Saturday night races, you know, it's just a great story. We have a little bit of NASCAR news, and then we'll move on to IndyCar with Garrett. Club Wyndham sponsored Jimmy Johnson at the Circuit of the Americas and at the Coca-Cola 600. Jimmy Johnson will be racing at the Circuit of the Americas on March 26th and the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway on May 28th. Max, what are your thoughts, buddy?
I'm more surprised to see him go to COTA. I think it's really cool seeing that he wants to go there, race on the road course. And that seems like it's going to really be a great race there at COTA. Unsurprising to see him want to be in the 600 just because he's been successful at the 600 before. That's a speed way that he's been very successful at when we talk about Charlotte, and it's one of the biggest NASCAR races of the year, so I would have expected to see him at all the crown jewels, and so far that seems to be lining up to be that way.
Yeah, he talked about, you know, there was an article about how he, you know, when he was in IndyCar and NASCAR, that, you know, that he, when he was racing in IndyCar and they weren't racing the Circuit of the Americas, he was pretty bummed out, but now he's going to get to do it in NASCAR, so he's pretty excited. Last bit of NASCAR news coming up. We're going to talk about, you know, Tyler Reddick nabbed his first top five finish of the season with the third place finish at Phoenix Raceway for 2311 Racing. He really needed it as, you know, he was sitting out of the top 30 in points, but, you know, now he's back in it and he has some momentum finishing third at Phoenix Raceway. And then Chase Briscoe was also setting outside the top 30 in points, finishing seventh for Stewart Haas Racing. Both these drivers really needed those finishes because Stewart Haas has been struggling as a whole, and so has 2311.
Yeah, but those guys are the future, and I'm really glad to see that they get some positive momentum. I would not be surprised to see both of them in the future compete for the top four, compete for championships. Both of them have really good stories, and both of them are very talented.
I'm going to speed this bit of NASCAR news up. Hendrick Motorsports might be facing a penalty as the louvers are, they were, you know, messed with, and they were not supposed to be, you know, messed with by the team. They are radiator duct coverings that direct airflow over the hood. You know, NASCAR had instructed teams that they cannot modify the louvers, and so they could be facing, you know, big penalties here.
Unless they get a RFK penalty like that happened a year ago, where it essentially meant that Brad Keselowski would really have to race his way and win a race to make it into the playoffs. Unless we see something like that, this is really a non-story. I doubt that they're going to really try and pursue this with Hendrick Motorsports, just because Hendrick Motorsports is such a big team in NASCAR. I mean, that's what the entire sport was built on. You want to have these guys try to exploit the rules. They've been doing it for years. Hendrick Motorsports just was the one who gets caught.
Yeah, you know, we'll never know if, you know, only time will tell if, you know, Hendrick Motorsports will have this penalty. But I am going to round out the NASCAR news with the NASCAR Camberwell Truck Series will be back at Atlanta Motor Speedway this Saturday at 2 o'clock p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then it's good to see them back. Been a couple weeks since they've raced. And then the NASCAR Xfinity Series will be at Atlanta Motor Speedway on March 18th at 5 o'clock p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then last but not least, the NASCAR Cup Series will be Sunday, March 19th at 3 o'clock p.m. on Fox at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Well, that's all the NASCAR news we have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up next is Garrett Burkle with your IndyCar news. We're going to take a 30-second break here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station variety. You are listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show.
Mike Rowe here with a gentle reminder that civilization is held together by pipes, wires, and cables. It's true. There are over 5 million miles of gas lines, power lines, fiber optic lines, water lines, and sewer lines all buried beneath your feet, and every 60 seconds, somebody digs into one. Look, if you're thinking about digging around, do yourself a favor and call 811 first just to find out what's down there. Trust me, you don't want to find out the hard way. Call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more info.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. It is currently 8:13 a.m. You're listening to the All Gas and No Brakes. Garrett, take it away with your IndyCar news.
So there's not a lot of IndyCar news. Just because, you know, they've been on a little break. But my one piece of news is that Jack Harvey has yet to be cleared for by IndyCar after visiting hospital for heart wreck at St. Petersburg. Jack Harvey was involved in the in a crash during the season opener in St. Petersburg, Florida. It was a
tough crash. Yeah, man, it was rough.
Uh huh. And anyway, he has not been cleared by IndyCar yet. And Ray Hall Letterman, Lanigan Racing, announced that Jury Vips was testing at Barber Motorsports Park in place of Harvey. Vips is a Ethiopian professional racing driver who last competed in the FIA 2 Formula 2 Championship. He's the 2017 ADAC Formula 4 champion and formerly a member of the Red Bull Junior Team Racing. In the testing he did, he finished 13th out of the group. In front of him was Scott McLaughlin, Will Power, Christian Lundgaard, Alex Palou, Joseph Newgarden, Marcus Armstrong, David Malukas, Marcus Ericsson, Graham Rahal, Scott Dixon, Elio Castroneves, Benjamin Peterson, Vips in 13th. 14th was Capriano, 15th Stingray, Rob, 16th Pagano. So interesting there. All prayers to Jack Harvey to be able to recover by come next race time. So.
Oh yeah. Looks like Team Penske really looking strong at Barber Motorsports Park as weren't all their drivers in the top five for the testing there, Garrett?
Yeah, correct.
With McLaughlin and Power, was it Power second?
And Newgarden
second, okay. Uh-huh. Team Penske looking really strong at Barber Motorsports Park. And, Gary, you have any more IndyCar news?
That's pretty much it.
Do you have any picks to win at Texas coming at April 2nd?
So if I had a guess right now, I would honestly say that I think Arrow McLaren and them are a pretty good package. So I would probably say Award right now.
Award, good pick. I do like Arrow McLaren there. Award's won in the past. Chip Ganassi's probably gonna have another great speedway program. Scott Dixon has the most wins at Texas. Look for him to be competitive. And Joseph Newgarden won it last year at Texas. Passed Scott McLaughlin on the final lap. It was a really close finish between the two, but look for Justin Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin to be really competitive at Texas. We're going to take a 30-second break here, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. Coming up is Owen Poley with your Formula One news. Thank you, Garrett and Max, for your NASCAR and IndyCar news today. We're going to take a 30-second break here. This is All Gas and No Brakes. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, and Owen Pulley's going to be talking about your Formula One news. Take it away, Owen.
So the Formula One, the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix coming up very shortly. Obviously, we saw Max Verstappen take the opening win in the Bahrain Grand Prix, but we also get to see a new guy, or not a new guy, a familiar face, but a new guy on the podium for the first time in a little bit. Or in a while, I should say. Fernando Alonso taking P3 in the Bahrain Grand Prix. So it's always good to see that. But Sunday, March 19th, took an off week this week, and they are back at it this week. So it is technically a race week. But last year, we saw Oscar Piastri. Or excuse me, 2 years ago, we saw Oscar Piastri in the Formula 2 Championship. Last time he raced at Jeddah, he took the weekend sweep and won the sprint race and won the race. So he knows his way around the Jeddah street circuit.
Yeah, agreed, Max. He really does.
My name is not Max.
Oh, jeez. I'm my fault. Oh, Jesus. I was blinking out there. But, yeah, agreed, Owen. Agreed with that.
So it should be very exciting to see. And then after that, they will go to Australia. So it'll be a break after that, 2 week break. So we're seeing quite the span of races right now, just not really going week after week, kind of every 2 weeks. I think later on in the season we'll get to the week by week. But after the Australian GP, we'll see almost a month long break until the Azerbaijan GP. So it's quite the long time until we see a Grand Prix in a while. So we're giving you as much updates as we can. And if we look at the standings right now, we see Verstappen in front, obviously won the first race of the season behind him, and we see Sergio Perez, so a 1-2 for Red Bull.
Yeah.
So right now it's just whoever finished in the Bahrain Grand Prix is points. But we see Alonso in third, Sainz in fourth, Hamilton in fifth, Stroll in sixth, so we see two Aston Martins there. Russell in 7th, Bottas in 8th, Gasly in 9th, and Albon in 10, and Leclerc not doing so hot, had a DNF in Bahrain.
Yeah, Max, I did it again. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, Owen.
It's fine.
Oh my goodness.
The great Maxwell Gilley.
I know. I talked to him so much about NASCAR today. I think I said his name at least 20 times. Owen, I got this, ladies and gentlemen. Owen Pulley. Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Owen. Yes. Leclerc not doing so well right now. Ferrari's reliability. Picking up right where it left off last season with all the failures they had. And Leclerc DNFing at Bahrain. But Fernando Alonso, I'm telling you, Owen, he's going to win a race this year. I am calling it. Austin Martin will win a race this season.
It'll be very fun to see.
But
sucks it won't be Vettel, though.
Yeah. I wish Sebastian Vettel was there. But I'm telling you right now, Fernando Alonso is going to win Austin Martin's first race. If not, they are going to be being competitive for podiums and being the top five mix. Mercedes has to get this, their car, fixed and squared away with all their issues they're having, because Lewis Hamilton did say in the media that, I'm not, you know, this ain't quote unquote, but this is something along the words he said. He said that Mercedes has not listened to him about the car and what needs to be, you know, changed, and really talked to him about, or really just listened to him on what, you know, he thinks the car needs to be competitive.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to see Aston Martin compete in the year. It should be fun to see those green cars roaming around those Grand Prix, and it would be cool to see a good finish because of the Saudi Arabian base Aramco for the main title sponsor of Aston Martin.
Yep.
That'd be cool to see some good results in Saudi Arabia for the Aston Martin cars.
Do you think that Mercedes are, you know, going to get their problems fixed and, you know, squared away and maybe be competitive for, you know, some podiums or, you know, race wins? Because, you know, they did win a race last season at Brazil with George Russell. Do you think those changes will be fixed?
You know, I don't think so. I really don't think that they're going to be a race win contender. I think they could be a podium contender. They were last year for some races out of the year, got the race win from pole in Sao Paulo. But I think that they're going to be a top five finisher, but they're going to be battling with, Aston Martin and Ferrari.
Aston Martin looks really quick. Ferrari, I mean, George Russell came out in the media. I mean, we said it in the last show, but he thinks Red Bull's going to win every race this season. No, you don't, Owen? No.
I disagree. I think that they're going to win a lot of races, but with how much skill and a little bit of luck goes into it, like, you'll need some luck along the way on the season, and you're going to have some unlucky moments, and I think that Red Bull is just going to have a couple of those. You're not going to win ever. I mean, with how many races are on the calendar, you're just not going to win every race.
Yep. If you have any, you know, predictions, what is the dark horse team this year? What is the dark horse team to be, you know, getting a podium or just, you know, scoring, you know, a lot of points? What is your dark horse team?
Well, I think that obviously the dark horse for the years past has to be Aston Martin. But that's kind of the obvious choice. So I'm going to go with something. I mean, that is my dark horse, but they've already proved themselves a podium. So I'm going to go with something that's a little more less of a dark horse. They finished fourth in the constructors last year. They had an off year, but I'm going to go with Alpine.
Oh yeah.
But a dark horse real quick, a dark horse driver, Nick DeVries.
He looked really competitive last season driving that Williams car for one race at Italy and scored points. He finished, I believe it was 9th or 10th on his debut. Pretty sure it was 9th. But
it was, because he took home 2 points.
He did take home
so
2 points.
So did Nicholas Latifi in his entire season at Williams.
So
it took home the same amount of points.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, that is a dark horse pick. Owen, do you have any more Formula One news?
Not really. That's just going to wrap it up. Be sure to tune in to the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix on Sunday, March 19th,
awesome,
on ESPN.
Buddy. Awesome. I just want to thank my co-host, Owen Poley, Maxwell Gillian, Garrett Burkle, for, you know, doing this radio show with me. Couldn't do it without them, and, you know, all their, you know, input and knowledge on NASCAR, Formula One, and IndyCar. It goes a long way, and I'm greatly appreciated to have them on the show. You can listen to All Gas and No Brakes every Wednesday from 7:45 to 8:30 only on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. If you miss a live episode, that's okay, ladies and gentlemen. You go to audioboom.com and search up All Gas, No Brakes, or WBDG, and just scroll down, and you might see a few episodes of the All Gas and No Brakes episode. All Gas and No Brakes radio show, because we do post all of our episodes on audioboom.com. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. For Owen Pulley, for Maxwell Gilley, for Garrett Burkle, I'm Landon Nelson. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to All Gas and No Brakes. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Big Nelly out!